Some of you have asked me about Epiphany, what it is and what it means. And honestly, it's a good question, because unlike the other seasons of the church year, we're not really sure what Epiphany is for. Everything else makes perfect sense. We celebrate Christmas, after all, because Jesus has been born. We celebrate Easter because we're celebrating his death and resurrection. And even Advent and Lent make perfect sense because we're preparing for Christmas and for Easter. All these things are pretty clear. But what about Epiphany? What exactly does it mean? Well, it's helpful to know what the word Epiphany means, Christians. Epiphany means appearing or coming to light. Something that you couldn't see before has now become visible. And so Epiphany and the season of Epiphany celebrates Christ appearing to the world. He who was hidden for long ages has now appeared to us. And through his appearing, we have come to know God. And that is something certainly worth celebrating. And the whole season of Epiphany, too, celebrates this appearing in lots of different ways. I've sometimes called Epiphany a continuation of Christmas because Christ appeared at Bethlehem. He was born of the Virgin Mary so that he appeared in the flesh to save us from our sins. Epiphany also remembers the coming of the wise men who saw Jesus' star in the east, and they came from far off in order to worship him as king. So Jesus has appeared then to the entire world, and those who did not know God have now become his people. We also celebrate the baptism of Jesus during Epiphany, because when Jesus was baptized, heaven was opened, and the Father spoke and revealed to us who Jesus truly is. He is the beloved Son of God, in whom the Father is well pleased, and now he has appeared to us. And the season of Epiphany also closes with Transfiguration, when Jesus appeared on the mountaintop in all of his glory to his disciples. So this then is the point of Epiphany. Jesus has appeared to the world. And our epistle reading for today, Christians, also talks about another way in which Jesus has appeared, but more specifically as our high priest. Because everything that came before Jesus in the Old Testament pointed towards what was to come. Things like the tabernacle in the wilderness, or the high priest carrying the blood of a bull into that tabernacle to sprinkle it on the ark, and so forth. All of these things were good and they were important, but they were all symbols. They were all shadows of what was to come. And Christians, they were shadows because they were imperfect. Now, I don't want you to hear the word imperfect and think that they were somehow bad, as if imperfect means defective or something that you need to get rid of. No, rather, they were imperfect because they were not yet complete. We can see this, for example, with the high priest in the Old Testament. He took that blood into the tabernacle to sprinkle it on the ark. God even told him to do it. It was good. It was something that he had to do. And he did it so that he could offer that blood up for his own sin first, and also for the sins of the people. But it was imperfect because it happened every year. It had to be repeated over and over again. And if you have to repeat something like this, that shows that it is not yet perfect. It is not yet dealt with the problem of sin. But when Jesus appeared, Hebrews tells us, he came as the perfect high priest. The very high priest that all of those high priests in the Old Testament were looking towards. And as our perfect high priest, he entered the greater and more perfect tent, that is, the tabernacle above, or in other words, heaven. Because as Hebrews says a little bit later in chapter 9, for Christ has entered not into the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. And there in the presence of the Father, Jesus did not offer up the imperfect blood of bulls and of goats, but rather his own perfect blood. Jesus appeared as both the priest and the sacrifice. And through his one sacrifice, we have been perfectly and eternally forgiven. We have been reconciled back to God forever. We have been delivered from all of our sins. So Jesus appearing as our high priest, Christians, means that we have been brought back to God. And that is something certainly worth celebrating. But Christ appearing as our high priest also shapes the way that we live, because we are no longer stumbling around in the dark, but rather living each day in his marvelous light. Consider what Hebrews itself says, starting in verse 13. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh. So that which came before in the Old Testament, it did purify the people, at least in a sense. But it only purified the flesh in an outward and an external way. It could not cleanse the heart. Because if it could cleanse the heart, Christians, it wouldn't have to be repeated. If it could cleanse the heart, then it would be perfect, and once would have been enough. But since it had to be repeated over and over, it shows that the root of the problem had not yet been dealt with. I mean, take the example of a weed. I mean, especially a good example would be Canada thistle. If you've ever tried to kill Canada thistle, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yes, you can cut the plant off at the ground even, and you'll get rid of the plant. But as long as the root is still there, you haven't solved the problem. It's going to come back again. And the only way to really deal with it, to really get rid of it, is to pull up the root or to kill it in some way. Only then will it be gone for good. Well, sin is the same way, Christians. It took deep root within us. And because of that, the imperfect sacrifices of old, which could not cleanse the heart, could not uproot it. They only purified the flesh. And since the root was still there, the works were also imperfect. They could not fully serve God. Yes, they could follow after him, but their heart was often still opposed to him. Because how often in the Old Testament did Israel turn away from God to go into idolatry? Even though they had been outwardly cleansed, the inward problem remained. The old heart was still there. And so they needed to be constantly cleansed on the outside. But if blood and ashes can cleanse the flesh, then as verse 14 says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Jesus appeared to take away our sins. Jesus appeared to kill the root of sin within us. And through his blood, through his perfect blood, we have been truly cleansed, not just on the outside, but also within. He has given us a new heart. And because we have a new heart, Christians, we are able to serve God in truly good works. Because we have a new heart, we are able to walk as His people. Because we have a new heart, we are able to follow after Him with everything, with our whole heart. Jesus appeared, and we have been set free from the power of sin. Jesus appeared, and our minds have been renewed, set on things above. Jesus appeared, and we now delight in God. Our consciences have been purified from dead works to serve the living God. All of this is one wonderful example of why we celebrate Epiphany. Jesus has appeared to us as our great high priest, and because of his appearing, our lives will never be the same. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who has caused your Son, Jesus Christ, to appear as the true light, guide us in his light unto life everlasting. In his name we pray. Amen.